You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 19. I want to minister on something I think that'll help us and change us. You know, I hope you come to church to be changed. We ought to be changed. We ought to be helped. We ought to be, you know, we ought to be different from coming to church. People ought to see something different in us. They really ought to. There should be something about us that makes people wonder what it is, want what it is. And it doesn't mean your personality. It means something about you's changed. Something Jesus has implanted in you. They don't know what it is, but we know it's Jesus. We know He's changed our life. So God's into transforming us. He's into changing us. So we may come to church and get some information, but really we're informed to be transformed. We're getting information for transformation. Amen? And if we walk out of here and we don't ever change, we miss the whole point. We're not collecting information or collecting doctrines or collecting stories here as Christians. We're trying to institute those in our lives and change our lives. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now, if you don't think you need to be changed, you probably don't need to go to church anymore. You probably don't need church. But if you think you need to be changed, there you go. Hello. If you don't think you need anything, well, you know, goodness, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. Well, no, I tell you what, I don't believe that is all that matters. I don't think that's all the Bible talks about. I know it's not all it talks about. Of course, that's the most important thing, to be born again, to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, to become a child of God, miss hell, and go to heaven. Whew, man, nothing greater. No question about that. But that's not where God wants to leave us. He doesn't want to leave us in the first grade. Amen? Or leave us in a childhood state. He wants to raise us up, mature us, and grow us, and disciple us, and make a blessing out of us. In essence, we're saved to serve. We don't serve to be saved. We're saved to serve. Amen? And we're loved to love. We don't go love so God will love us. No, we are loved by God so we can go love others. And so we're comforted to comfort others. Think about it. That's what He's about. He's about changing us and making us better. Hallelujah. I hope you're better after you got saved. Goodness. I hope you've changed since you've gotten saved. I hope you have allowed God to work in your lives and work on your lives. He's still working on me. How about you? I'm constantly coming into things. We talked about this in the class this morning. Reggie was so transparent, talked about some things there, you know, that he realized he needed to work on this. And thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm always running across situations I thought I was better than that. If I was just half as good as I thought I was, I'd be Superman. Now, don't laugh. You'd probably the same way. But then you run into something, you say, man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I got so upset about that. I can't. Well, hey, join the human race. We're here. We need help. Amen? Amen. Call on God. Repent. Don't cover over it. I mean, let's repent of it. It's wrong. Yes. Are you with me? But then let's grow. Yeah. It means you need to change a little bit. Amen? That's not a bad thing. Praise God, we're changing. We're growing. Amen? Hallelujah. So, in light of that, Matthew 19. Found that? Now this is all the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. Familiar story. You've heard it. Preached it. You know, I preached it many times myself. But 16th verse, let's look at this. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, of course, you know, we'll read through the verses here, but honestly, if you look at that question, there's really no good thing you can do to have eternal life. And Jesus really wasn't telling him, you know, how to be saved. If you want to go down what he finally told him to do, he says, well, go sell everything you got, give the poor, and come follow me, and you have great riches. He didn't say you'd have eternal life. He said you have great riches. Eternal life comes from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what you do. It's what he did. Amen? And one way to look at it is this way. If I'm going to inherit something, I'd have to be in the will. And generally, when you inherit something, if you're in the will, it's because you're part of the family. There's only one way to be in the will. You have to be part of the family. Only one way to be in the family is to be born again. Amen? So the rich young ruler asked a question really that wasn't a right question. I think a lot of questions we ask God are not correct. Like, you know, what color is round? What shape is yellow? You know, we ask nonsensical questions sometimes. Do you ever do that? as you grow, you think, well, that was a dumb question. Why did I ask that? If I think back on the things I thought, you know, as I was growing, and, you know, and I thought, man, that was just didn't make sense at all. We think we're so intelligent when the question makes no sense. Hello. Can God make a rock big enough for him not to pick up? How many angels can sit on the head of a pin? These are actual questions people ask. In seminaries, they ask these kind of questions, you know. That's why I get confused about seminary, cemetery, similar. Anyway, no, there are some good people in good seminaries. Okay. Now, he said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. That's correct. God is good. Amen. If you want to enter into life, then keep the commandments. Just do what you know to do. You know, Jesus hadn't been crucified yet and died yet, and so they're under the law, and you know they're having to keep the law and so on and so forth. And he says, "There's no one. What do you mean one good thing? Just follow your conscience, do what's right according to the word." And, amen? Okay. So he said to him, 18th verse, "Which ones? There's a good. Which ones? Which commandments? There's a lot of them, Jesus. Which ones should I keep?" Jesus said, well, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and, well, love your neighbor as yourself. Hello. Young man said to him, well, I've done all those. I've kept all that from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said, well, if you want to be perfect, he didn't say if you want to go to heaven. See, he still didn't answer the question. But if you want to be perfect or mature, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. I think really the answer was, come follow me. That's how you go to heaven. Amen? Because Jesus didn't tell this to any other man. He didn't tell anybody else to go give their money away. Only person ever said that to. And there was a lot of wealthy people around Jesus. I mean, Joseph Arimathea gave him his tomb. You know, he was a wealthy man, had his own tomb, gave it to Jesus, begged the body of Jesus when he was crucified, didn't say anything about him selling everything he got. Are you with me? And, of course, Zacchaeus, the tax collector, now he did give a substantial amount of money back to people that he had defrauded and so on and so forth, but he didn't sell everything he got, didn't give everything away. Are you with me? So that wasn't the answer. You don't have to sell everything you got to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Most of us thinking, well, I want everything to sell anyway, no big deal. But, I mean, you're off the hook. I just want to let you know. Evidently, this man, individually, this person, had a problem with his money. And Jesus addressed everybody individually. This man didn't have great possessions. It says, stay with me a minute. It says this, the 22nd verse, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But I'd submit to you, he didn't have great possessions. Great possessions had him. Yeah. Amen? Oh, yeah, he had a lot of stuff, but he really didn't have it. It had him. And Jesus knew that. And it was hurting this man. It was blocking him from serving the Lord. So even all that, though, wouldn't have saved him. But anyway, I was looking at this and meditating all this. And, you know, why Jesus said this. In fact, this is kind of repeated in a couple other instances. Not just Jesus, but Paul used the same analogy, in Romans, the book of Romans. And James said some similar things. But I was looking at these commandments. It says, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. So he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 commandments that he names. And then he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Which he didn't mention coveting, which is one. You know, they didn't mention. He didn't mention, thou shalt have no other gods before you. That's a big one. That's the first commandment. Don't make idols, graven images, anything. That's the second commandment. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. That's the third one. And the fourth one is remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Didn't he mention that one? Which always fascinated me. I'd read that. And there's other accounts that he did the same thing. And Paul talks about in Romans about keeping certain commandments. We may get to that today if we have time. And he didn't mention any of that either. Now you'd think, goodness, come on now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Come on. Have no other gods before you. No graven images. Wouldn't you think? I mean, come on, that would be the most important ones. Don't take the name of the Lord your vain. Remember the Sabbath. That goodness, that's got to be it. That's got to be high on the chart. And you know what? Really, I believe it is high on the chart. I believe the first commandment Jesus did say one time before, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And the second one is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon this, the whole law hangs. All the law and the prophets hangs on these two commandments. So he didn't come up with two new commandments. He just kind of summed them all up with those two. And concerning this rich young ruler, you know, I think this is where we drop the ball. We, many times, kind of like this rich young ruler, we are kind of mystical about our faith, kind of spiritual, kind of ethereal, that's a big word, out there, you know. Kind of theoretical or conceptual, those are some big words too, you know. But we're not real practical about our faith. Getting quiet in this Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, whatever we all are, church. We're not real practical about our faith. And everything Jesus said was very practical. The commandments he mentioned had to do with our relationships with people. But our relationships with people are very revealing about our faith in God. And we often talk about believing in God and oh, I believe in Jesus, oh, I believe in God. But yet the world can't see any difference in us because it really never hit us in a practical level. It never affected our relationships with people. And when Jesus talks about the commandment, he's always talking about how we treat each other. Woohoo! Great preaching. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Are you with me? Can you relate? I mean, when I look at my life, really, I can talk about spiritually, you know, kind of privately how I love the Lord and all that. But really, if it doesn't translate out into what I do, how's the world ever going to know that? A lot of people say they believe in all kinds of things. But see, my works do something. They show my faith. They show my faith. See, I don't earn my salvation. I can't earn my salvation. But I'll tell you what, you can sure tell what I believe by the way I live. You can tell whether I really believe it or not by the way I live. Amen? And I think our witness is stronger by our lifestyle than it is by just what we say. We should back up what we say with what we do. And if what we believe doesn't translate in the way we relate to people, we need to go back and check out what we believe. Hallelujah. I know you're not shouting and jumping up and down the aisle and everything, but this is good stuff. This will make your marriage better. This will make your relationships better. This will make you a better employee or employer on the job. Make you a better neighbor, that's for sure. Make you a whole lot better person if you begin to let this take over your life. If you'll let this Jesus you've accepted permeate and run, work through your hands and your feet and your mouth and change you, then the world will see him in you. They'll see him by your relationship and the way you've changed, the way you relate to people. Amen. All the things he said had to do with lateral relationships. Now we talk about vertically to God. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four we might say are vertical. They had to do with God. You know, no other gods before you. Don't make any graven images. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And remember the Sabbath, keep the holy. But then the last six, which still even there is overbalanced, the greater part of the commandments have to do with the way we relate to each other. The last six have to do with, you know, not killing, not stealing, not murdering, not lying, not bearing false witness, and honoring our parents. Are you with? Don't commit adultery. Those last six have to do with the way we treat each other. Amen. Amen. And so that's something that ought to always be, we should always make a checklist. Check ourselves out. Amen. To see how we're doing. How we doing. Did you get mad at somebody? Did you pop off? Did you snap at someone? Did you not give someone your time because you're just too busy? Those things are very high on God's list. Very high on God's list. It's the way we treat each other. And if we're going to have great riches, of course, I'm saved by being born again. I'm saved by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. But if I'm going to prosper, live long and prosper, as Spock says. If I'm going to prosper and I'm going to live long, to even live long, I have to honor my parents. You know the Bible says that? That's the first commandment with promise. Honor your mother and father that you may live long upon the earth. It's the first commandment with promise. If I'm going to have the blessing on me and I'm going to be a witness and be of use to God, then I'm going to have to work on my relationships. Woo, hallelujah. Glory. Because this is what really makes a difference. You know, these things that we, the way we treat each other, our brother, our sister, and so on and so forth. You might say it this way. In fact, it was said this way in 1 John 4:20. You don't have to turn there. But it was said this way. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Wow. Now, don't go around calling everybody a liar. Not your place. I'm just telling you what Scripture says here. As soon as somebody gets mad at you, ask them, do you love God? And they say, of course. You go, liar. Don't do that. That's not what this is about. This is not ammo to go tear somebody up. This is a self-checklist. This is self-examination. Okay. That liar. Well, hey, look at yourself. You've done it too. You know, I may have loved God, you know, and been born again and so on and so forth, but at that moment, I'm not doing a very good job of loving God if I'm hating my brother. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Well, what did you do to Jesus? Doesn't matter what they've done. You have to pray. You have to forgive. I understand you're not going, you know, you can't hang around people that are in sin. I understand it, but you've got to keep yourself clean. You have to forgive. If they've done you wrong, you have to. You're a Christian. You're a believer. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:20, let's read it again. I'll read it again. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Okay. For he that loveth God or loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? That's pretty simple, isn't it? And I think really what Jesus is telling this young man is that his faith was more, like I said, mystical than practical. You know, sometimes our faith is that way. More conceptual and theoretical than actual. Oh, I'm starting to rhyme and I like it. Okay. But our faith has got to translate into relationships and the way we treat each other, especially in church. Come on. In church, there's so much goes on in church. It's just uncalled for. It's not our church, but I mean, a lot of churches bicker and they fight and they gossip. And they're more interested in what somebody's wearing in church and the fact that they're in church. Thank God people come to church. Amen. Thank God people can get here and get help. Hallelujah. You know, it's more than just us. It's about others. It's about other people. Yes. Oh, I've been saved. Okay. Now I am saved. So now I need to live so others can be saved. So others will see Him in me. So, Lord, help me love people. Help me reach out to people. Help me be kind. Okay. Be kind. Because we can't back the message up. The message doesn't have a lot of meaning sometimes because of us. You know, it's been said that we ought to preach at every opportunity we have to every person we can and use words if necessary. And if it comes down to it, yeah, use words. But the biggest sermon is your life, amen? The way you treat people. How many people have gotten saved or come to Jesus because of the impact a person that knew Jesus had on their lives in the way they loved them and prayed for them and cared for them and reached out to them? I know in my own life it was that way. I had a guy witness to me for several months, a foreman on my job in Houston, Texas. Actually, I was working in a chemical plant in Deer Park, Texas, and we were living in Pasadena at that time. Red Bluff? Yeah, Red Bluff. Chateau Creole Apartments on Red Bluff in Pasadena, Texas. And I was working as a construction worker on a job, Upjohn Chemical Plant. You know, and this foreman kept witnessing to me, and I just gave this guy all kinds of trouble. I mean, just relentless and mercilessly, I would make fun of his faith and make fun of him witnessing to me. And he was my foreman. He could have fired me. But, you know, he never snapped back at me. He would just walk away. Many times he'd turn red and be embarrassed and walk away even. You know, and I would just shake my head thinking, what a maroon. You know, he really believes that stuff, you know. But, you know, he was so consistent. He just kept coming back, and he was always friendly. He always kept loving me, and, you know, and he kept praying for me, kept telling me about the Lord. And, I got to be friends with him before I got saved even, on the job. You know, I thought, well, you know, God really likes me. You know, he's really reaching out to me. And I couldn't fight that. I could fight doctrine because, you know, we're so smart. We can think we believe anything. We think we're so intelligent, you know. But after a while, he never really changed. He was always consistent. He was always the same. He always considered me. He always prayed, tell me he was praying for me, you know, and he'd have his church pray for those kinds of things. And he wouldn't argue with me. He'd just walk away if I got contentious, you know, and I cussed and everything. I was just lost and undone without God. I didn't know the Lord, you know. And he didn't condemn me, although what I was doing was wrong. He'd walk away. and he'd pray. And I couldn't fight that. I just couldn't. He wouldn't fight. Hello? She wouldn't fight. I remember Brother Osteen telling the story about how him and Dodie, would get in an argument and he'd want to give her the silent treatment. You ever done that? The silent treatment. Just ignore her. So they'd had an argument. He was trying to give her the silent treatment. He was in the house there and he couldn't find her. You can't give anybody the silent treatment unless they're there for you to ignore them. So he's walking down the hall, kind of looking in the bedroom just so he could give her the silent treatment. Looking in the rooms, thinking, where is she? I'm trying to give her the silent treatment. Well, she was hiding. And when he finally passed the room she was in, she jumped out behind him and grabbed a hold of him and jumped on his back. And says, I will not let go till you talk to me. And then, of course, they both started hit the floor and rolled over and laughed. And you'd have to know them. They were something else. Of course, Dodie's still alive, Hello. But it takes two to fight. Amen? It takes two to do that. We have to show love. We're not supposed to just preach love. We're supposed to show love.
That's right.
Amen? We need to show it. And that's what I couldn't fight. I just honestly, that's what I could not fight. I mean, I could argue. Goodness, I've always been able to argue. It took a lot. Come on. When I got saved, it took me a while to get over some things because I would just absolutely destroy somebody that came to my door, a Jehovah's Witness or anybody. I would destroy them and walk away. Another one bites the dust. And I had to learn, I'm not supposed to be destroying everybody. I ought to be leading them to Jesus and try to win them over. Instead of just win the argument, I need to win a heart. And I begin to realize that's, it's not about winning an argument or walking away being right. We want to win people.
That's right.
Not condemning everybody for everything they're doing wrong and the way they act and so on and so forth. You know what? Come on, give it a rest. If you're working on a job, you're not there to just judge everybody. You're there to be a light and shine your light. That's hard to do. I understand that. It's not an easy thing to do when you're serving God and, someone starts cussing or whatever, But you can't walk away. I remember working on a wholesale produce job one time. And I worked wholesale produce for about 3 years in Dallas, pastoring this church. When we were going through some tough times, I went to work, I wasn't too proud to do that. I was hungry. I was more hungry than I was proud. So, and thank God we kept the church going and we went through some tough years. I had family, I had kids to feed, and a man doesn't provide for his household, he's worse than infidel. Listen, I love you guys. I mean you're dear to my heart. My family's before you. It has to be that way. God's first, then my family, then the church. And so I made a way where I could do all that and still keep the church going. I was off on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I did that for 3 years doing produce, and I built houses for a couple years. But anyway, the people would come in, and I had a Bible on my desk, and I dealt with a lot of truckers and shippers, people that come in. Of course, I dealt with brokers a lot on the phone, buying and selling all over the United States. And I got tickled when this guy came in. He used to bring a lot of produce in, and finally, he said something to Bud Harding owned the company. He says, they all called me the preacher. I guess it was because I just preached all the time. But anyway, he said, boy, the preacher, he doesn't cuss much, does he? I'm thinking, I don't cuss at all. What are you talking about? But I never got on to him about it. See, that's the point I make. I never got on. They just heard it. They saw me and observed me and my lifestyle. They read my life. Amen. Now, I love telling the good. I won't tell you any bad stories. I'll tell you the good stories. Okay? I won't tell you about the times I got upset and so on and so forth and had to apologize and repent. And we don't talk about that. Okay? Let's talk about the good stories. But people see your life, and that has an impact. That's a witness. The way you treat each other. Turn to Romans 13. Hallelujah. Romans 13. This, of course, is about obeying laws, being subject to authority and so on and so forth. And it talks about paying taxes. Everybody say pay taxes.
Pay taxes.
Hallelujah. You need to do that. Of course, we need to pray they quit taxing us so much, but as long as it's there, we need to pay it. And believe God to come up with it. Eighth verse, Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Whoa. Now, aren't I supposed to love God? Well, yeah, that's understood. And you show that by loving one another. Y'all catching that? Wait. I fulfill the law by loving people? No, wait, I thought I was supposed to love God. Well, yes, you are supposed to love God. But if you say you love God who you can't see and you hate your brother who you don't see, come on. Liar. Come on. Woo. Get a little correction this morning. That's good. It gets quiet, you know, when we're... Well, at least you don't squeal like those hogs did when we caught them yesterday. I like that. That's good. I'm glad y'all are not out here because we are getting hit here, and that's good. We're getting caught, and that's good. That's a good thing to get caught. Amen. Amen. We can correct it. We can correct this thing. Hallelujah. I knew it'd work that hog in there somewhere. I think some way. Oh, no man, anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another fulfills the law. Wouldn't you like to keep all the commandments? Ooh, man, give me a list of them. I want to start checking them off. Well, here's start right here. Just loving your brother, loving your wife, loving your husband, love your kids. Come on, if Jesus means anything to you at all, then give those areas of your life over to him. And show his love through your loving. You're saved to serve. You're loved to love. You're comforted to comfort. You've been helped to help. You've been encouraged to encourage others. It's all about others. I love that. You know, we talk about the golden rule, doing to others as you'd have them do unto you. I heard it said this way not too long ago. You need to do unto others as if you were the others. That pretty well sums it up. Would you want that done to you? Would you steal from someone else? Would you hate someone else? Would you discourage and destroy someone else? If that someone else were you, you wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. You know, that pretty well puts it all in perspective of what I want done in my life. Well, that's what I should do to others. Do you want to make it? Do you have dreams? Do you have goals? Do you want to mature? Do you want to be better? Help others meet their goals and dreams and mature. Encourage others. Pour yourself into others. And I'll tell you what, you will be helping yourself more than anybody. You really will. And you'll be showing the love of God. It says in the 8th verse, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another fulfills the law. For the commandments, now listen to this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, there again, let's think about it. I know I'm redundant. I know I'm repetitive, but that's okay. That's how we learn.
That's right.
Okay? If there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in the saying. Wait, what commandments do you leave out? Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Don't make any graven image or likeness anything. Fall down and worship it. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Keep holy. He didn't mention those, did he? And yet they are commandments and they are important. You know, you can be as kind as you can all year long. If you don't love God, if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell. You're not going to go to heaven being nice to people. But if you do love God, you will be nice to people.
Amen.
Make sense?
Yeah, right.
There's no amount of helping and blessing and reaching out to each other that's going to save you. You can't be saved by what you do in that sense. But if you are saved, you will do those things. Good way to find out if you are. Now, I didn't say, you had to, you check that out, okay? But this should affect you. Doesn't mean you won't mess up. Don't mean you won't get mad. Doesn't mean you won't have to repent. Goodness gracious, if you say you have no sin, truth's not in you either. But if we confess our sin, he's just faithful, forgives our sin, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So we're not saying we're going to reach this plateau of perfection. Tomorrow I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to be perfect, man. I heard that sermon. I am never going to sin again. I'm going to love everybody. I'm never going to get upset and mad. Hallelujah. Somebody. Woo. I'm there. I have arrived. Woohoo. I hate to pop the bubble, but it's not going to happen that way. You're going to have to continue to repent and get back on the road. But still, it comes down to this, is the way you treat people, the way you reach out to people, the way you relate to people. Amen?
Amen.
Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law, all the law. If you love God, you have got to love people. Got to do it. Doesn't mean you like them, but you got to love them. You got to start doing the right thing. You got to start reaching out and helping others. Make others your business. You don't ask yourself, because sometimes we get in that little, you know, we get in that little box. We're saved. We're going to heaven. We love God. We're born again. And yet we're really not doing anything. You know, we're not helping anybody. We're not praying for anybody. I mean, we come to church and, hey, I'm not beating you on the head. Y'all receive this?
Yes.
Because I'm talking to me too. I got to ask myself, have I helped anybody this week? Have I encouraged anybody this week? Have I prayed for anybody this week? Have I sacrificed at all in helping anybody? I mean, I'd written a card, note, phone call, something, you know, come on. Anything. Have I witnessed anybody? What about my people I run into are lost? And, you know, if I just shine my light, just put a good word in there, just tell them, you know, we love you, praying for you, something along those lines. You don't have to grab them and, you know, by the collar, do you know Jesus? Do you know you're going to hell if you don't know him? I don't think it always works. Hello. Great intentions, but just a little bent in the way we're going about this thing. And God does judge us by not only what we do, but how we do it. Amen. We need to back it up with love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Real love, Bible love, got everything to do with it. Amen. You know, Romans 15:2, you don't have to turn there. We taught on this actually a few weeks ago. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That's a good one. Galatians 3, if you're writing notes, I'm trying to wrap this up. Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then I quoted what we call the golden rule in Matthew 7, chapter 12, verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What is the law and the prophets? Doing to others as you'd have them do to you. You know, we look at this community where we live as a church family. We want to reach out to this community. And we're doing that through Hallelujah Night and, of course, the angel food. And a lot of you help out. My goodness gracious. But that's showing the love of God. That has endeared us to our community. That's given us influence in our community more than just being here preaching Jesus vocally, orally, doctrinally. We do that, yes. But all this here, you know what we're doing here? We're getting information so we can translate it into action. So we can go out there and live this thing. Every time we come to church, we ought to be asking ourselves, hey, how can I do that? Hey, what do I need to work on in my life? Who can I reach? Who can I touch? Who can I pray for? What can I do? Can I do better as a husband or a wife? Can I do better as a father or mother or as a child honoring my parents? Can I do better as an employee or as an employer on my job? This needs to translate into action.
Yes.
People need to see this. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. In fact, James talks about, you know what James called? The royal law of love. He's the only one that says that, but I thought that was so good. The royal, it is royalty. The law of love is the king law. It's the royal law. Love one another. That's not just a religious cliche. You know, that should translate into how we act and what we do. Amen? And we can do it.
Yes.
I do not believe that God ever asked us to do something we can't do.
That's right.
And of course, the reason is, He's there to help us do it.